Hey, it's Carl Richards, and welcome to the podcast. We are in the process of merging two podcasts together. My first podcast, Speaking of Speaking, and my most recent podcast, Podcast Solutions Made Simple. Both are very important, whether it be in the speaking space or the podcasting space. So keep listening to find out how those two podcasts are going to merge into one. But now, let's dive into today's episode. And today we're talking about, well, we'll probably talk about a number of things, but one of the things we'll be focusing on today is marketing. And Jeff Dwoskin is our guest today. He's a marketing expert, digital strategy and engagement maestro. He's also a comedian, so I don't know how many jokes he'll be telling today on this show. He's a speaker, and of course, yes, he is a podcaster. Jeff, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, great to be here. Cue the Looney Tunes music.
No, that's more circus music, I guess. Which is kind of the same thing in a way. So, Jeff, let me ask you this. How did you get into this crazy podcasting space? And I say crazy respectfully because I'm also in this space. But what brought you here?
Doesn't everyone do it? I thought you had to. It's like in the 70s, everyone had the Peter Frampton live album. And I think now everyone is a podcaster. I don't think you have a choice. I think they actually give out microphones when you're born now at the hospitals. I think it's a thing. You know, it's just like anything. It was a good creative outlet that I had thought about doing and then went head first into during the pandemic when I finally had time and wasn't able to do the other things I was doing. At that point, I had already thought about it for 3 years, but actually did it starting in May 2020. So that was my creative outlet.
Awesome. I love it. And I'm glad that you found this space. And I was like you. I thought about it for a while. And my first inception into podcasting was with a colleague back around 2012. And he said, this is when I was between radio jobs. He says, oh, you're a speaker trainer. Well, you should start a podcast. And I remember saying, and maybe you said this too at some point, you said, what's a podcast? What's that thing? Anyways, it took me 5 years or 6 years to finally get into the space. But then once I was there, I was hooked and I scratched my head and said, why aren't more people doing this? And as we'll talk about today, like it's a great marketing tool. It's a great way to put your name out there. It's put your intellectual property out there, whatever it is. It really is a great space to do that. And because you're a comedian, I can say that's one of the top podcast formats too, is comedy. It's a great way to get your humor out there.
It's a great way to get a lot of things out there. I 100% agree. I think what helped me in 2020 was the barrier to entry was lower, which is also the problem with podcasting, I think, now as well, is that it's so easy to start and people don't understand just because it's easy to get into it. It's a lot of work to keep going. You know, I've passed 270 episodes recently and a lot of people quit. They say 7 is pod fade average, 7 episodes. Yeah. So they give it about 2.5 months and they're like, oh, okay, I'm done.
Yeah. And that's the sad thing is the pod fade can very much skew the landscape of podcasting as well. Because if you look at it and say, well, there's 5 million podcasts worldwide. Well, that means that if only 40% of them are active because there is such a pod fade number. You know, for a guy like me who helps people in the space, it's like, okay, great. Then you should start a podcast because not all of them are active, but it means that you really want to share with people that, you know, this is a long game, not a short game. Get past 7 episodes, get to the, what did you say? 270
and
something. Yeah. And I'm at about 150 now, something like that. So yeah, but how you get there is by, it's not by chance. It's by you have to do the work. It's kind of like I've worked with a writing coach over the years. I say over the years because this comes in stages. Every 2 or 3 years, I say, I'm going to write a book. And one of my writing coaches said, because I've had more than one, one of my writing coaches said, if you're going to write a book, it's work. You have to schedule time on your calendar. You have to sit down for 2 or 3 hours every day and you have to write. And in that 2 or 3 hours, not in front of television, you have to lock yourself in a room or in a closet, whatever it is, and do nothing but write. And it's the same with podcasting. You need to schedule time, figure out what you're going to talk about, record it. And then if you're doing your own editing, then you've got that as well. But you still have to schedule the time to do it. You can't just wait for inspiration to do it. Because that's, I think, maybe part of the challenge with people is that they'll get to episode 7 where they've been inspired, and then they get to episode 8 and go, I'm not inspired anymore. And I don't know what to talk about. And they quit. I don't know if that's 100% accurate, but I think that that's part of it, is that, or they see the workload, they go, ah, oh, it's too much work. But it really isn't, once you understand that every podcast episode is different. They don't have to be an hour long. They can be, there are 2-minute podcasts out there, right? So if you want to talk for 2 minutes, great. So anyways, I'm rambling on here. I'm not giving you much of a chance to speak in here, but I think that's part of the challenge, that it's how we look at it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about creating a process that you can maintain, and you have to do something that you're passionate about. The reason I sat on it for 3 years was, likely if had I started in 2017, I probably would have podvaded, because I think I wasn't as passionate about that idea. I felt, what was I going to bring new to it? And it was basically, this is the truth. This was going to launch it. I was really big on Twitter. I was a OG verified, meaning I earned a blue check.
Nice.
I didn't buy it like you do these days. And I'd gone viral numerous times. Like, I was in any publication you can think of, they had pulled my tweets in. CNN, you know, People, USA Today. And if you can think of it, I was in it. Mm-hmm. And so I was riding high on that. And I was going to say, all right, I'll create a podcast called Viral Intentions. I thought that was cute. It's based on Cruel Intentions, the movie.
Right.
There's a little play on that. And viral, going viral on social media. And it was going to be a social media focused podcast. I just sat on it. I had a weird soundboard that I had to tell the kids, don't bump the table, because if you bump the table, I couldn't even do my podcast, you know? And so it was like, and then it just sat there, and then it ended up in a box because I never did it. My wife, then the pandemic hits. And I mean, I had everything. I had intros, outros, art. I was ready to go. The only thing I never did was hit record. And, you know, the March 2020 hits, and I'm like, all right, I finally have time. I started to put it together again, and I realized, oh my God, we're in the middle of a pandemic. I can't launch a podcast called Viral Intentions, right?
So probably not. Yeah. Does it, you know, post-pandemic? Maybe.
Maybe now it's okay. But like, it may have even been questionable had it had momentum at the time. So, you know, I was determined to do it. I did my first episode. God bless the people who have co-hosts. I don't know. It's hard enough organizing myself, let alone a co-host with everything else, but each to his own. And so I did the first episode, and I'm like, oh, I got to do it. This has to be an interview show. And then I started interviewing people, and then it just sort of started evolving, where I started focusing on my real passion, which was, I love going to Comic-Cons.
Yep.
And meeting celebrities. And it slowly, I realized, oh, they'll talk to me, you know, and it didn't hurt that it was the pandemic. So that everyone had a little extra time. I'd been a stand-up comic for 20 years. I'd worked with some really good comics that we were all connected on Facebook, got a lot of them on the show as well. And that sort of kind of became the thing I did, which was just talk to, you know, a lot of them are from the 60s, 70s, 80s, you know, Love Boat, Happy Days, you know, that kind of stuff. But that's the stuff I grew up with. And so it was like, I was real passionate, because, you know, you can look around my office, I've got 300 photos of me with famous people I've met, or 8x10s and all that kind of stuff. And so it was something that I really loved. And to be able to sit down with someone for an hour is a joy. And so, you know, that's why I think, you know, I've been able to kind of keep going. So
great that you came into the space. And I think you did what a lot of people are afraid to do, and that's just go and do it, right? There's that trepidation of, well, if I do this, well, how's that going to work? Or who am I going to talk to? Oh, I would love to talk to famous people. Oh, but I'm too scared. You know, so we almost convince ourselves before we even record our first episode that we're not worthy. We're not going to do this. Who famous or who infamous is going to talk to me and want to be on my show? And I think that that's becomes a bigger challenge too for people that leverage the podcasting space for business, because they come in there, they say, I'd love to talk to some, you know, thought leaders who have been very successful in the space, be they, you know, Tony Robbins, obviously extremely high profile thought leader, you know, Jack Canfield, people like that, but they scratch them off the list. They come at this point of entry where they'll talk to almost the, they'll come into this space and say, well, I can't get Tony Robbins, but I can get Bruce Smith, who's just launched his business. So we don't even think about those opportunities that we're dismissing. And then that lowers the bar, not the bar of entry, but it lowers our bar and what how we are in that professional space. So kudos to you for embracing it and saying, I'm just going to do it. And because you've already worked with some really good comedians and famous people, that probably made it easier to leverage your contacts as well and get into that arena.
What I found is, you know, 270 plus and going episodes is one, now the track record of people I've interviewed helps me get other interviews. So it's just the fact of, oh, you know, it's not uncommon now for someone to go, oh, you've talked to a lot of my friends. I'm like, great, awesome. And, you know, it's one of those things too. Like, you know, you get knocked off your high horse all the time. I reach out to people that are on other podcasts and won't do mine. Right. Yeah. And then I get people that do say yes, that I just can't even believe they said yes. You know, you just reach out, you know, and they're like, oh my God, they said yes. And it all depends a lot of times on timing and stuff like that. But, you know, it drives me crazy when someone won't come on my podcast that did two other ones. You know, I'm like, what? Yeah. I mean, come on. I mean, nothing, you know, it's, I don't know. It's just, it's crazy. So you never know. And you should always ask. You're either going to get a no, silence, or a yes. And you can't get the yes if you don't ask, you know, and if they say no, fine. You know, the one person I wanted on my show, I've been turned down four times, you know, so I, one day maybe, you know, who knows? So.
Was it Alex Sanfilippo? Because he should be on everyone's show. Actually, he says yes a lot of the time, I think.
I've never asked Alex to be on my show. He just says my show is not that kind of show. But the...
But he's a really Alex Sanfilippo who runs Podmatch, which that's not where we met, Jeff. I think we met through another
call. No, I think I just reached out to you because I saw you moving and shaking on LinkedIn. Yeah. No, Alex is a great dude. He's a pal of mine. But the he's done a lot of great stuff.
Yeah, and we will not put the link to his podcast here. I'm just kidding. I think he gets a lot of accolades in the podcasting space because some of the great things that he's done. But I mean, you've done some great things as well in this space, as you said, have some great conversations with people. Navigating no is a tricky one. I've had that a few times where I'll reach out and say, you know, love to be a guest on your show, or why don't you come on mine? And I've gotten that no. And I'm like, what? Then I look at the shows they beat on and say, free. So, but you know, it's just being able to let it roll like water off a duck's back is the best approach. But then also recognizing that just because it's no today doesn't mean it's no tomorrow. But the other challenge that I find in the space is, and again, because I do work with a lot of people who are leveraging this space for business, is they'll put all the effort in to building a show. They'll work tirelessly for, you know, 2 months, you know, 60 days, 90 days. And then they'll launch their show and they're so excited, but then they'll say, the podcast, you know, they'll whisper it, that, you know, they won't put it out there and promote it and share it. They'll just expect that somehow the podcasting gods will just manage all of their marketing for them. And it just doesn't work that way unless you already have some traction or you already have celebrity status, like an Oprah Winfrey, or as I mentioned earlier, like a Tony Robbins or, you know, Joe Rogan. You know, you really have to work at the marketing piece.
Yeah. I mean, Joe Rogan, I think, built up over time. But like, if you, to your point, if you like Julie Louis-Dreyfus, her podcast, just because she's famous doesn't mean she would have debuted at number one, but she had an entire team behind that podcast, right? I'm sure, you know, making sure that happened. And we don't have that, right? We don't, as individual indie podcasters, we don't have an entire PR company or $500,000 in ad budgets or coming out of the gates, you know, $250,000 deal with a car company to advertise on your podcast, you know.
$2 million with Spotify or whatever to
it's get it going. Know, as much as I love the movie, the Hulu TV show, Only Murders in the Building, it sort of gave the wrong impression of what happens when you launch a podcast, right? So
yeah.
Even the true crime podcast. if it doesn't have somebody behind it, nobody knows. This is not the field of dreams. If you build it, they don't come, you know, unless they know who you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or you
exactly.
put money behind it.
Yeah. 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 Either money behind it or you really need to do that. And you're right. Having a team certainly does help, but you also need to be able to talk about it. But I think some of the areas people struggle with is with social media. You know, it's such a, I think we get bogged down by algorithms and tools and which one should we promote on. And I know that you've worked diligently in this space and you've actually created a tool that helps people in the Instagram space. Did you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was really big on Twitter for a long time, now called X, but I will still refer to it as Twitter. And
I think a lot of people will, to be quite honest, till the day they die or till the day X dies, whichever comes first.
So it's a shame what's going on there. But I had built up this Twitter community and I had built an app. I'm kind of a digital entrepreneur. I love creating and marrying marketing and technology and doing things specifically in the social space. Being a comedian for 20 years, I've spent a lot of time in social media. So you sort of get a feel for it. And I feel like I'm a good representative of the normal person, meaning a lot of times you go, hi, yeah, I got 1 million views. And you're like, oh, but you used to work for Disney. It's like you're a Disney stuff. You know what I mean? There's always something in the backstory. You know, your dad's a multimillionaire. And you know what I mean? It's like there's always some advantage that the normal person isn't going to have. You know what I mean?
For the listenership. Okay, right on.
It's like, oh, you know, I don't know why people watch all my TikToks. I don't know, because you're gorgeous. You know, it's like.
That's why you and I don't get the same number of views on TikTok. Just saying.
I don't know, but I'm just saying, like, you know what I mean? It's like the majority of folks out there, you know, work for their likes and comments. And, you know, unfortunately, I think one of the reasons people don't post a lot is there's a weird phenomenon, I think, that if you as a creator post something that's personal to you, it almost gets crickets, right? Yeah. How many times have you posted on Facebook, I just released this episode, okay? And it gets nothing. It gets nothing. Then you put up a picture of a pie you made and it gets 500 likes. So you're like, oh, I know people are seeing it. So they're clearly liking the pie and ignoring that. You know, I find like on Facebook, if I put up a really famous person or, you know, someone who's, you know, a Little House on the Prairie cast member or Eric Roberts recently, those got a lot of likes.
Right.
You know, but if I just put up somebody that maybe they don't know as well or doesn't recognize, if I get 3 likes, and look, those are all from podcasters too, by the way. Thank you. But ignored by everyone. So, but then again, I put up a picture of my kid, boom, 500 likes. You know what I mean? So there's something weird. So it's almost like, but here's the thing. After doing it anyway, relelessly, to your point, for 3 years, I still post. At some point, it became a running joke. Oh, Jeff, you have a podcast? Right? That became the joke because, you know, even though they're not, here's the thing, and it's true with sales too. They can hear you. They're listening. They just may not respond. And when that happens on social media, it's a deafening silence. You feel like you're being ignored because you're hoping that your community is embracing you. But for some reason, you know, it becomes a little more difficult. But again, it became a running joke. So I know everything I posted over those years was valuable because they're like, oh, you have a podcast. Anytime I go, hey, I have a podcast. You have a podcast? Yeah. I mean, it's like, occasionally someone means it. And I'm like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Someone on LinkedIn's like, oh, what's the name of your podcast? I'm like, are you kidding? Like, really?
You haven't heard it yet?
Okay. Well, even if they never listened, right? It's like, you'd still be aware of it. It's not like I don't post it 500 times in the last year. But anywho. But yeah, so it's an Instagram tool. It's called Stampede Social. And it does a lot of things for creators, for podcasters. One of the coolest things it does is it automates DMs to your listeners with the link to the episode they request.
Right.
So if you and I were talking and you posted on your Instagram this episode and you just say, hey, comment below #Jeff and I'll DM you a link to the episode. They comment #Jeff and then they get a DM from you and it has a link to this specific episode. It could be any link. It could be, you know, a pod.link, a chartable link, you know, it could be your webpage, you know, anywhere you want it to go. And what's really cool about it is it stores all this information in a database. And so it's all attributable and trackable. So you know over time, that particular fan requested 10 episodes in the last 6 months. Or, you know, the Jeff episode, you can look back and go, oh, the Jeff episode was the most popular. And then, oh, and then and second place was Alex's, right? Or something like that, right?
Right.
So you can start to understand that. And then it also brings in all your posts and reels, and we add features to your posts and reels. Winner selection tools, so you can do post level giveaways if you want to do that. We have AI tools built in to help you create engaging comments to the people who are commenting on your posts. You know, it's stuff, and then it goes deeper and deeper than that. But those are some of the high level, really cool stuff it does. And we're always adding features and all that kind of good stuff. So if you're into data and engagement, you know, this was built, you know, I built this as a creator for creators, you know, with all the knowledge that I've had working with agencies and being a social person at a $1 billion brand, you know, all that kind of stuff. So kind of put it all together into this mega tool that focuses on Instagram because it has the most holes in it when compared to other platforms. You know, for being one of the top three platforms, it makes a lot of things difficult, and we fixed all that.
Yeah, because the way you share, or the way most people share links, is they either, and again, I'm not an expert in this space, but they'll somehow embed it in there or put the link somewhere in their post, in their photo or whatever it is. Or they'll say, oh, the link is in my bio. And how many people will actually go to the link in the bio to go to your podcast, to go to that episode, to listen? There's a few moving parts to doing it, but it sounds like you've eliminated the step. What's that?
Yeah, statistically less than 1%. And yes, we eliminated the step. And here's the coolest part about it is, here's the reality, right? The reality is, if you come, you see my podcast with Eric Roberts and you're like, oh my God, I totally want to listen to that. But you know what? At this exact moment in my life where I discovered a podcast episode I want to listen to that I didn't know existed until I just saw it randomly come up on my timeline. Oh, okay. Well, if I just comment hashtag Eric Roberts, now it's in my DM. I'll get to it later when I have time to digest
right.
a 40-minute podcast, right? So it's helpful with that as well, because saving posts or thinking you're going to go back, that doesn't work. It just doesn't work at all.
Yeah. And especially in that space, I find that there's, or if you miss it, you've missed it forever. Like, good luck finding it again, right? Unless you know the person who's created it and you go, oh, I missed Jeff's post. I'm going to go in his feed and try and find it. Or we know it's one of the top three, but it still has its clunkiness to it with, you know, really getting the engagement from it. Not that you can't, it's just that, you know, having a tool like the one that you've created has made it so much easier for people to engage in this space.
Yeah. And that's what it's all about. We tried to make it extremely easy. You can set up one of these campaigns. You can have multiple campaigns running. Just, it's real simple. We templatize pieces of it so that you don't have to worry about the DM that goes out. It tells them what the hashtag they use and gives them the URL, which is, let's be honest, all anyone really wants. You focus on just setting it up. You can do it via Instagram Live, do it via your stories, posts, reels, or direct to DM. As a podcaster, you could be like, hey, go to my DM, DM me hashtag BetterHelp. Instead of telling them, go to betterhelp.com/classic50, which you as a podcaster, you have no idea who did that. No idea if anyone did. And the whole idea that someone's listening to a 40, 50 minute podcast of the information I'm throwing at them, and they remember a URL that they heard 15 minutes in amongst everything else, a specific URL, it doesn't even make sense. And so this way they go to my DM, hashtag BetterHelp. They DM me directly. It automates. I send them the trackable link. They click on it. I know I sent them. And now I know I sent 30 people to BetterHelp. And then there's a link we give you. You can put that link on Twitter or email, you know, because as a podcaster, if you can push your own host read ads even more, they'll renew. So it's win-win to use your social currency to do that. And if you use the URL that we provide, It'll redirect through Stampede Social. Doesn't have anything to do with Instagram at that point. It just, for the creator though, it redirects through us, sends them to BetterHelp. And now you know, okay, from all these outside social platforms, I sent another 50 people to BetterHelp. So I send at least 70. I know I send at least 70. How many people bought? Otherwise, you have no visibility or insight into this at all, right? I use it when I speak. I have a QR code that opens up my DM. You get it. Yep. We build it for you. And so I'll go, hey, DM me hashtag slides. And then you get a link to my presentation. There's 50 people in the audience and 10 of them do it. I know exactly which 10 did it.
Right.
Right. So in the BetterHelp example, I know who was listening because they were listening and then DM'd me. So I know, oh, these are listeners. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. So pretty cool.
By the way, we're going to post the link in the show notes for if you want to check this out and, you know, really see how this app is beneficial. Because especially if you're a podcaster and you're saying, how do I play the Instagram game more successfully? I think this is a great way to do it. So what else you got cooking? What's next for Jeff?
What's next for Jeff? I will say, if anyone wants to check it out, you know, because I want podcasters to be able to use this. If there's a promo code that I made for your listeners, simple50, okay? That'll give them 50% off. They can try it for 14 days for free, no matter what. And then if they use simple50 when they're signing up, they'll get 50% off any of the plans that they want. They can check it out.
Nice.
And if a bunch of your folks do it, we'll get together. We'll have a party and all. I'll show everyone how to eat. Yeah.
We'll have an Instagram party and show us how to do it. No, but seriously, thank you so much. That's very generous. I really appreciate that. So we'll make sure that is in the show notes with the promo code. So yeah, if you want to check this out, absolutely. I suggest you do that. So what else is cooking in the world of Jeff?
You know, still podcasting, you know, having a TV film podcast with a strike going on. I haven't really been doing a lot of interviews lately. Luckily, I had a backlog, which is a good lesson for everyone. Always have a backlog.
Right.
don't live on credit, right? Don't be recording today that you're going to do on, you know, release on Monday. Thankfully, I had a whole backlog, a lot of backlog. So I, you know, so in a way it was, gave me time to kind of focus and catch up a little bit as well. So I'm doing that. Occasionally do the stand-up comedy. Not often, but occasionally. And just honestly, just, you know, hanging out on podcasts, doing my podcast, Stampede Social stuff. That's my life. It's my life right now. So
I love it. I love it. And it's a great place to be, you know, really just working through doing stuff. I hate that word stuff, but you know, just doing it and just out there doing it. So no big projects, but just doing, you're just going and you keep going.
Yeah. We're looking into product hunts. That's one thing we've been doing is to kind of launch on there to get some visibility. And, you know, it's just stuff, you know, just always trying new things, you know.
I love it.
That's all you can do, right? Keep on. And
Jeff Twoskin has been my guest today. Anything else you'd like to share or pass along to the audience or your final thought, whichever you're ready to do?
Definitely check out Stampede.social. Use Simple50. I want you guys to check it out. I built this to help people and I want everyone to love it and enjoy it. And Classic Conversations is my personal podcast. If you're into hearing fun interviews, check that out. My final thought is, this is a quote. Is that okay? A quote?
Yeah, sure.
I heard Rob Lowe say this. And it's funny because, you know, sometimes you hear something and you go, oh my God, that is brilliant. And so he was talking about his time when he was in AA during this interview. And he said, don't judge your insides by someone else's outsides. And I thought that was one of the most brilliant quotes and insights. And it literally is something I think about all the time, all the time. It's we do that, right? Especially on social media.
Yeah.
You see somebody's outward whatever, and then you use that and judge yourself internally, whether positively and a lot of times negatively. And the truth is, that's just something they're showing you. That's not the true them or their insides. So don't judge your insides by someone else's outsides. And I found that to be very profound.
Wow, I love it, and very powerful. Jeff, thanks so much for being my guest today.
Thank you for being my gracious host today.
And thank you for joining us today. Special thanks to Dom Carrillo, who makes us look and sound good, our music guru, Nathan Simon, and the person who works the arms, all of our arms, actually, my trusty assistant, Stephanie Gafoor. If you like what you heard today, leave us a comment and a review, and be sure to share it with all of your friends. If you don't like what you heard, please take a moment to share it with your enemies. We like to hear from everybody. Oh, and if you have a suggestion of someone who you think would make an amazing guest on the show, let us know about it. Drop us an email, askcarl@carlspeaks.ca. Don't forget to follow us also on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and X, formerly Twitter. You'll find all of those links in the show notes. And if you're ready to take the plunge and join over the 3 million people who have said yes to podcasting, let's have a conversation. We'll show you the simplest way to get into the podcasting space, because after all, we're Podcast Solutions Made Simple. And we'll catch you next time.